The writing was on the wall, but I think it still kind of sucks if you're an American soccer fan. Jesse Marsh is officially out as the head coach of Leeds. The experiment that started a year ago when Jesse was able to keep the team up against relegation has come to an end. Amidst a lot of chatter from the Leeds faithful, from the Premier League press, just from people around the world who I feel like we're ready to see Jesse Marsh get out of there. We're going to talk all about Jesse Marsh on this episode. We're going to talk about what this means for Leeds, what this means for Tyler Adams, Wes McKinney, Brendan Aaronson, what this means for American coaches going forward, especially American coaches in the Premier League, and what Jesse Marsh's next move will be. Will it be the U.S. Men's National Team? Will he be going somewhere else? All that and more on this episode of the Yank Report. What's up? My name is Sam. Welcome to the Yank Report, a show all about American soccer. If you're into that, hit the subscribe button, hit the like button. You can ring the bell. You can become a member if you want to directly support the channel. Speaking of supporting the channel, we're going to start the show. We're going to be talking about Jesse Marsh. We're going to bring in producer Brad. All after a word from this week's sponsor. BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season. Everything from NFL playoffs to pro and college basketball, UFC, MMA, and more. You always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. With live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable, BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code BELIEVE to receive your rewards. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. Brad, it is with great sadness that I say Jesse Marsh is no longer a head coach in the Premier League. The experiment has come to an end. This episode is basically the funeral for Jesse Marsh. Thoughts on the firing? Initial thoughts?
It's sad, but not surprising necessarily. Once you lose that fan base, the Leeds fan base are a very passionate group and they don't give a lot of leeway. So once you lose that fan base, I think the writing's on the wall for you. And the ownership group, I think, was stretching the patience of that fan base for a little while. When Jesse, I guess, wasn't necessarily trying to appease them by switching up the tactics, he was very headstrong with the style that he wanted to play, which had got him results in the past, but it also had gotten him in trouble in the past. This, I don't want to say, was a repeat of what we saw at RB Leipzig, but it's not that far off. I'm disappointed. I think the timing was a little interesting, especially after they spent not an inconsiderable amount of money in the January transfer window, which is usually when we see teams patch a hole or two, but not really spend a lot of money, which Leeds did. And they were guys that were going to fit Jesse's system. So I thought he might have gotten a little bit more leeway. But after you lose 1-0 at Nottingham Forest, a game which honestly, they had chances. They should have won that game 3-1. But, you know, ifs and buts for candy and nuts every day be Christmas. But you can't go to the City Ground and lose and only be safe of the relegation zone on goal differential. That's just not going to cut it at this point of the year.
Yeah, I've been reading some articles from the British press today in regards to the firing. There was one in particular on The Athletic written by a Scottish fellow. I forget his name, but it does not paint Jesse in a very pretty light at all. Pretty much rips him to shreds and kind of rips the whole experiment to shreds. You mentioned sort of the fan base kind of wearing thin with some of his antics. You know, he came into the team and everybody will remember his speech that he gave to RB Salzburg, which kind of put him on the map globally as a head coach. And then he comes to the Premier League and he's fiery. He's saying things in the press. Some of those things are landing with the fan base. Some of them are not so much landing with the fan base. He gets the red card for some of his antics on the sideline. He's a super passionate and animated dude. But at the same time, it's one of those things where when things are going well, you'll be beloved. But when things are not going well, those are things that people are going to look at and go, you know, we'll let you get away with that when the team's winning. But when they're not winning, we're not going to do that. I think the narrative that's being built out there, well, I'd say there's two separate narratives. I think the narrative that I'm reading a lot in the British press is that this was a coach who was just not ready for prime time. Has a system that works well at the lower levels of the game, maybe the mid levels of the game. But once you get to the highest levels, and certainly in the Premier League, that you're not going to be able to succeed with the type of soccer that he wants to play, especially whenever you're going to be at a supreme talent disadvantage the way that Leeds is. The way that his team just pressed so much and exerted so much energy, but was unable to do much of anything at all with the ball. And then whenever they did lose the ball in those transition moments, were just completely exposed and just never had the back line to be able to withstand that. Maybe didn't have the keeper to be able to withstand that. The team both struggled to score goals and look competent in the attacking end and look competent in the defensive end whenever they were under pressure. Shoot, we saw some goals today against Manchester United where we saw some of those exact same things where, I mean, just losing jumping battles for headers against Man United, that's not the way you want to go down if you're a team like Leeds. But the other narrative that I'm seeing from American fans who are a little bit more supportive of Jesse and want to paint him in a good light is that the advanced analytics aren't quite as bad as some of the results have been. And maybe if he had more time with the squad, that things would turn around. I feel like I lean a little bit more towards the British press in this one, that maybe this system was just ultimately never going to work, and being this dogmatic towards this particular system with that group of players is not going to be a recipe for success in the long run. But what do you think? You think he was doomed to fail, or do you think as the year goes on that some of those advanced analytics are going to pan out for this lead squad?
I think it's really interesting. I think it's a little bit of both here. The style that he was trying to play this year, from the start of the year, you saw the results against some of the bigger teams. I'm thinking Chelsea and Liverpool. But you also saw his team get really tired towards the end, and sometimes subs weren't made at the right times. But you know, I go back to the fact that with the guys he had, it wasn't going to work, especially over the length of a season. And with the way that the Premier League standings have shaken out so far this year, it's very tight at the bottom, pretty much from 13th down to 20th. It's there within a couple points. You're a losing streak away or a winning streak away from either being relegated or being safe. And I think you can't really have that much time for experimenting when the league's shaking out this way, where there's really not a very definable middle. There's really a top and a bottom this year. But I keep going back to the fact that they did bring in players for him to try and make this system work. And then after one bad result, it's see you later, Jesse. But I do think that it wasn't necessarily – I think the players that they brought in can succeed at this level, but not necessarily in that, as you called it last week, cocaine football style. I don't think with a league that is as physical as the Premier League that the running up and down the field is really going to pan out. I love Jesse. I am a Jesse fan. I've talked to him a few times. He has this weird effect where when you talk to him, he makes you feel like you're the only person like on earth. It's the coolest thing. You can't help but root for the guy after you meet him and talk to him one-on-one. But with some of his antics in the press, which he leaned into a little bit when you have the English press hounding you like they did, I mean, you can't help but fire back every now and again. But I do think it was doomed to fail. I do think Leeds can, I do think they have the talent, but I think it's going to be not a pretty style of football that Jesse wanted to play, a fun style of football that he wanted to play going forward.
Yeah, I think you see it with the squad. I mean, if you watch the game against Manchester United today, or if you watch really any of the Leeds games this season, if they're not scoring in that first 45, if they're not getting the lead, it's going to be really tough for them to come back because they just run out of energy. By that 70th minute, they don't have the energy. They don't have the quality in the side to really break down an opposition that's sitting in. And I think that's the big tactical downfall that everybody's pointing towards. The team tended to get to look better against the better teams in the league because those are the teams that were willing to push forward against them and play more into their strength. The teams that are more at that level, at their level, the lower tier teams in the Premier League that are sitting back a little bit more and are not just running at them with the ball over and over again, they struggled to break them down. If the team sat back against Leeds and counterattacked, Leeds really struggled with that. We saw that over and over again. The question now, I think, regarding Jesse Marsh is what's next? You know, you come from the Salzburg team where he was riding high. He gets the call up to Leipzig, which seems like would have been the perfect move up from the Red Bull system. And he's out within a couple of months. It seemed to fall flat. I mean, he said something in the press that like it was the wrong team at the wrong time. I wasn't the right guy for that particular job. Moves over to Leeds and doesn't complete a full season at Leeds either. He gets a little bit of the back end of last season, helping them stay out of relegation. But then this year, barely survives the transfer window and is out after the first game in the transfer window. So what happens with Jesse Marsh? I don't think that he's going to be in line for another Premier League job anytime soon. There's also the looming U.S. men's national team job that's out there. I know a few months ago, a lot of fans would have loved to have Jesse Marsh as the head coach for the national team, but it feels like now the U.S. fan base has kind of turned against Jesse Marsh in a big way. I don't think a lot of American fans want him. I think a lot of American fans have tuned in a little bit more to the dogmatic style that he has, where he may be even more of a systemic zealot than maybe even Greg Berhalter was. And Greg Berhalter got ripped for that in a big way. I don't know what's next for Jesse Marsh. What do you see for Jesse Marsh's future?
I don't know. I could see him taking some time off because after he was let go from Leipzig, everyone was kind of expecting Jesse. There were some media networks that actually hired him to be a pundit for a while, and they got through one or two shows with him, and he was like, sorry, guys, I got to go. I'm going to Leeds United. I could see him doing some media stuff. Possibly this could be an interesting option. I could see him in MLS in a system where he can help grow young talent, which he did very well at RB Salzburg. Say what you want about him, but he did. And the players coming through were supremely talented, but he helped get the best out of them and helped them move on to bigger and better things. I could see him doing that very well at RB Leipzig. The U.S. men's national team job is an interesting one. One of the things that I saw recently was the possibility of him as the head man and Jim Curtin as an assistant, which I thought was weird because I think Jim Curtin is a name that more people should be looking at for the job itself. I think that would be kind of a too many cooks in the kitchen situation. But I do think he has a very a wealth of knowledge about the current player pool. Obviously, he brought three of them to his team. I don't think that's anything to discount very quickly. But if we are trying to avoid someone who's going to be very set into a system, you can't treat the national team like a club team. We know that. We've seen that experiment. You have to adapt to the players that are in your squad, not trying to adapt the squad to your system, because you can't choose the players that are in your squad. You can't go out and say, oh, gee, it would be really nice to have a really big physical number nine. Let's go get Erling Haaland. Unfortunately, you can't do that at the international level. So I don't know if Jesse would be the right guy for the job. I thought when Greg was struggling early on in the qualifying cycle, I thought that we would make the call for Jesse. And I think that might have been the time, but I don't know if that's something we can look at now. But I wouldn't be surprised to see him in the media. He's great on camera. And MLS, I think, would be an interesting option.
You know, he's still a very young guy. I believe he's 49 years old. I'm not 100% on that. But for as far as head coaches go, very young. Yeah. He still has the opportunity to go somewhere else and bounce back. I don't know what exactly his reputation on the international scene is at this point. After really failing out at Leipzig and then Leeds, you'd imagine that he'd still be able to get a job somewhere, a pretty high profile job. But what does he want? What works best for whatever future he's building towards? As far as the U.S. men's national team job, we're just coming off of this scandal where Greg Berhalter was embroiled with a scandal because one of his former teammates was the father of a player on the team, and there was all this interconnective tissue, and U.S. men's national team fans are screaming that they want total outsiders. Well, Jesse Marsh doesn't fit that bill. I mean, Jesse Marsh is definitely a U.S. soccer insider. He's an MLS guy. He's a former U.S. men's national team guy. He's going to have relationships with all those guys. So I don't know if that alone disqualifies him for the position, or if U.S. soccer doesn't really care about what everybody else out there is saying and is seeing that there's a lot of value in this guy. Clearly, he's a very talented coach. He might be the most talented American coach out there. He certainly has the best resume of any American coach out there at the moment, as far as the leagues and teams that he's coached. So there is a lot of value there. I don't know what ultimately is going to come of this. I do know that he was making pretty good money in the Premier League. I don't know if he'd be able to get that in MLS. I don't know if he'd be able to get close to that in MLS unless somebody really, really, really wants to break the bank to get him, which is not impossible. It's not impossible for somebody out there to spend $3 million or whatever it is he would command in order to get back to MLS. But it's a question mark. I think the next thing, well, you had something on that?
Yeah, I think another interesting option could be a club that is close to relegation in one of the other top five leagues in Europe, calling him in because they saw the job he did at Leeds United, helping them stay up in what looked like an impossible situation last year.
He speaks multiple languages. He's proven that he can coach at multiple different locations. I mean, he has a solid resume. It's not like this guy is never going to get a job again in international soccer. He's definitely going to fall somewhere. It's just probably not going to be the Premier League, and it's probably not going to be like a Champions League high profile knockout round Champions League club.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
All right, so where does this leave Leeds? I mean, Leeds still has an American head coach at the moment in Chris Armas, which has been one of the most interesting careers. I mean, if you're going to have a U.S. soccer documentary come out in like 30 years, 20 years, whatever the case may be, the Chris Armas documentary, where he just keeps ending up at these really interesting locations in American soccer history.
He's like the Forrest Gump of football. He's just exactly there.
He's just there. I don't know how he keeps showing up, but he certainly keeps showing up. So Chris Armas is leading Leeds at the moment. As you said, they are a point out of the relegation zone, but they're a point out of the relegation zone with like half the league. I mean, there are so many teams in the mix. We've seen Weston McKennie get he was a sub in the last game, and then he got the full he got the start in this game against Manchester United. It's been a kind of I don't know if what to assess for Weston McKennie's performance so far. I don't know that we've gotten to see the new striker so far. You could correct me on that. Leeds does have some reinforcements that we haven't quite gotten to see. What do we make of Leeds for the rest of the season?
I genuinely have no idea. I'm wearing my my Weston Juve shirt because I haven't gotten a Leeds one yet. But if someone does not brand them the Bash Brothers from the Mighty Ducks D2, then I don't know what we're doing. Because watching them in a double pivot today, it was nothing but grits and pace and athleticism and fire. I mean, I would have only felt more patriotic if Weston had a dip in and spit it at Luke Shaw. I mean, during that dust up, I was damn proud of them today. But we did see their new striker that they got from Hoffenheim for about 30 minutes today. I thought some of the subs were a little weird. I was happy to see Brendan Aaronson, but I thought he was an interesting sub to make at that time. They took him, put him on for Jack Harrison. I thought maybe bring in an extra more defensive-minded midfielder or defender to try to see that one out might have been a better option, but far be it from me to say that. I do think they can stay up. I do think that they have the ability to gut out some close games, and they have a lot of players on that roster who have been in relegation fights before as well. And it only takes a few to go your way to where you're feeling better about yourself. And getting a point at Old Trafford, I think, will go a long way, because if I were a betting man, I would say that they might lose this Sunday to Manchester United at home. But then they have a few games that are winnable and that you can get points from. So I do think they will be safe. It's all going to come down to, the adjustments that they're able to make in games, which was one of the big sticking points with Jesse, is that he wasn't making those adjustments. And you saw today, about the 70th minute, they just ran out of gas and United was just all over them. So I think, making some different subs here and there and making some different squad choices, I think they will be safe, but it's definitely going to be a fight. But they just need a few to go their way in the coming weeks.
And you feel like it's coming, man. You feel like, I mean, this game today against Manchester United was going to be a difficult test regardless. But seeing Tyler Adams and Weston McKennie roam that midfield and just be on top of everything. I mean, Weston hasn't quite made the attacking impact yet that I think that he's going to make at some point for this squad. But defensively, I mean, he has lended some athleticism, some size, some intensity that I don't think that you were getting out of the, what was his name? The Spanish midfielder that was playing outside.
Mark Rocca.
Yeah, I don't think that he was quite bringing that the way that Weston McKennie can. I'm excited to see how it plays out. I think that by the end of the season, he will have shown his quality to that squad. There were still some opportunities that Weston had to make some passes and some transition moments where it just didn't quite work out. I'm hoping that it's more him being in a new team playing against Manchester United is the reason for that. You know, it is difficult circumstances, to be fair to Weston McKennie, but I do feel like he's got something special in him.
I do too. One of the things that I was, and maybe it's just because he's been there a short amount of time, but they didn't have him involved on attacking set pieces on corners very much. They kind of had him sitting at the top of the box, where I was like, what are you doing? You got Air West in there. I mean, maybe they have such elaborate set pieces, which we have seen them do before, that they're just kind of like, just hang back, West, and watch us do our thing real quick. That he hasn't gotten enough time on the training ground for that. But that was one, that was something that was making me scratch my head a little bit today.
Yeah, I think it'll come in time. Now, the next question has to be, I mean, we're looking at this Leeds experiment where they make the move for Weston McKennie. They made the move in the offseason to bring in Brendan Aaronson, Tyler Adams. Jesse Marsh was the head coach, just a heavy American influence for this Leeds side. Marsh has already gotten the axe. What do you feel like this means for American soccer? Now, I always want to be on the side of like, this isn't a big deal. All things will work out in time. In the long run, things will be good. But, you know, I have to say, like, Jesse Marsh succeeding in the Premier League would have been a really, really, really big deal. I think it's not good that he got fired in this manner, where the fan base and the chairman lost confidence in him. I don't think that this is a good thing at all. I think if Jesse Marsh succeeds, then all of a sudden you have a lot more opportunities out there for some of the young coaches in MLS currently. You look at guys like Steve Cherundolo and maybe Josh Wolf or Jim Curtin, guys like that. Maybe their phone is ringing a little bit more. Maybe they can command a little bit more money from their agents, either from MLS or overseas. I don't know. With Jesse Marsh kind of flailing out in this manner, I think it hurts. I think it does hurt. Now, I will say that because there's just so much American influence in the Premier League, both with the players and the fans, but especially the ownership that's coming into this league, that I think that you're not going to see Americans iced out the way that you might have 20 years ago or 15 years ago in the Premier League. But I do think that this sucks, man. And if this league Leeds team goes down, it's going to be a real indictment on American soccer. Whether it should be or not, I think that's the way it's going to be played in the British press and especially, you know, throughout Europe. It's going to be seen as this American experiment failed. Am I wrong on that?
I think the most important thing you said there is warranted or not. I think if Leeds go down, I think it's definitely, oh, it's all because of the Yanks, which there aren't any Americans on that back line that has more holes than Swiss cheese. And there's not an American playing number nine who's scuffing every single shot. Very few guesses who I'm talking about.
Not just every shot, man. Every time the ball comes into that man's feet, like, oh my.
Yep.
A lot of my friends were D1 athletes growing up, and a lot of my friends that I played soccer with ended up playing college soccer. They were way better than me. So mm-hmm. I definitely identify with that particular player. Like whenever we would watch videos back of our team, they would look like the rest of Leeds and I would look like that particular player when the ball came to my feet. So I'm like, oh man, oh, I'm looking at myself. But anyway, go on.
But the blame will solely be on the Americans. But I do think it won't affect, I think they're going to fall in love with Weston the same way they've fallen in love with Tyler. Every single post that Leeds puts out of Tyler Adams, the comments underneath it are Leeds next captain, Captain America, blah, 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 blah. He's great. And Brendan's been a little up and down. I think he'll come around. But as far as American coaches go, you could not be more right. It's not going to take as much time as it took for Jesse to get there that, since Bob Bradley, who was at Swansea and was fired within 2 months. It's not going to take that much time. I think, especially because of the ownership groups now, and just because American coaches have gotten better, but I don't think that, a club is going to take a risk on an MLS coach. I think that the path is going to have to be similar to kind of what Jesse has taken, where he went to a Salzburg and then to a Leipzig. But if you have an American coach who succeeds in another league in Europe, I think they will get a chance. And I think they will be looked on pretty favorably by owners who are looking to market their product to Americans in the States, because it is still a relatively untapped market. It is growing leaps and bounds, but it is still, there are still a lot of eyeballs and a lot of hearts and minds up for grabs for teams in the Premier League. But I do think that they're going to be wary and they're going to want them to have proven it outside of MLS. Now, if Jesse succeeds and Leeds are finishing top 10, top 12-ish, I do think maybe Steve Cherundolo gets a call. Maybe Jim Curtin gets a call. But I don't think those guys' phones are going to be ringing. And it does suck because it is an indictment on them when it shouldn't be, because those are good young coaches who are also very, very involved in their academies and growing talent and grooming people into playing as a team and playing in a system. But this is just, the optics are the optics. You had the cowboy come in and he saved you from relegation, which I think he should have gotten a lot more love for than he did, but it didn't, ingrain him as much as maybe it should had into the hearts and minds of Leeds fans. And then you start off the season, but you still had people who were very wary of him. And then they go through an extended rough patch. Make no mistake, the results were not nowhere near where they needed to be. But it's always going to be the American coach, Jesse Marsh, not just the coach, Jesse Marsh. It's going to be the American coach, Jesse Marsh.
Yeah, and if you don't believe that, you need to go ahead and read some of the articles being written about Jesse Marsh at the moment, because they certainly understand which country he came from.
Yeah,
I do see Steve Cherundolo seems to be that guy who might have the ambition and the ties to eventually certainly end up in Germany at some point if he has put together a few good years at LAFC, and it seems like that's very much in the cards with the way that LAFC is running things at the moment. That's yet to be seen. I don't know about some of the other guys. What I do know is that coaches in MLS don't make a tremendous amount of money, especially compared to some of the money that you can make over in Europe. The money that's being paid to players has really caught up in a big way with some of the lower tier leagues throughout Europe. The coaches' money, not so much. So it's still a big opportunity for these guys to take international jobs or jobs with European clubs. So you would like to see that pathway available and open. And I do certainly think this hurts that. Let's put a bow in the Jesse Marsh conversation and the Leeds conversation for now. Last week, we finished things up with doing a player of the week. This week, I want to highlight another player, but I understand that you have someone who isn't actually a player.
Yeah, and that's the new Hoffenheim head coach, Pellegrino Matarazzo, who is a New Jersey native, played soccer at Columbia University, was the head coach of Stuttgart for 3 years. He helped bring them up to the Bundesliga and then helped avoid relegation last season, which, if you haven't seen the video, go find it. It's great. The video of his family watching from his brother's garage in Jersey. It's just the best. But he goes there and he has two, they're kind of the Bundesliga leads a little bit. He has two American players. One who's a Wiley vet who has been widely discussed on this channel and many among our YouTube comrades out there, John Brooks, and then a really exciting young prospect in Justin Che, who over the break has been officially named a first team player and has been getting some minutes here and there for them. I'm really interested to see how he does. He was let go by Stuttgart in October of this season after a poor start, but brought in to a Hoffenheim team that's just above the relegation zone. And they're hoping that he can repeat the trick that he did last year and then keep them up in the German top flight. So I'm going to be really interested to see. Hopefully this will be some good news after the sad news of Jesse Marsh. Hopefully the success of another American manager in top five league will, you know, give us a little something to hope for.
A good shout, man. And, you know, we were just talking about the American managers out there, and we didn't mention Pellegrino, and he's sort of like the forgotten man in American soccer.
He really is, and that's hard to believe because his name could totally be a cocktail. I mean, that is just a great name. That's a great New Jersey name.
Well, there's guys out there who are American by nationality, but aren't really like didn't grow up in the United States and don't really feel American, but Pellegrino Matarazzo did. Like he is 100%.
He's from down the he's from down the shore, you know. And then he played at Columbia. I know who you're talking about. You're talking about the new Norwich manager who was the manager at Young Boys in Switzerland. But when you hear him talk, he has a very thick German accent. But no, this is a Jersey dude. I mean, this is a guy who is often forgotten about. He was an assistant at Hoffenheim. He really kind of only came onto the scene around 2019. He started his coaching career in 2010, but he was mainly an assistant, was an assistant at Hoffenheim for 2 years before getting the call for Stuttgart. But he is an exciting guy, and hopefully he can keep Hoffenheim up and hopefully help John Brooks and Justin Che, either John Brooks resurge, have a career resurgence, hopefully Tim Ream 2.0, or and help groom an exciting young prospect in Justin Che.
Yeah, and we certainly need one of those. I mean, the center back depth chart for the U.S. Yep. men's national team is the same it was before the World Cup as it Absolutely. Is now, maybe even a little worse. So Justin Che or even John Brooks, who's not, I mean, he's, what was he, like 29 years old, something like
He'd
that?
He's 33 not, at the next World Cup.
Yeah, it's not completely What's out of the question.
I mean, Tim Ream did it at 35.
You know, I sort of wrote him off after he went to Portugal and just didn't get to play at all. So just assumed that like the next thing we'd hear is that he was going to quietly retire, but he ends up back in Germany and gets minutes kind of immediately. So I guess there might be a little bit more in the tank. We'll see what the next U.S. men's national team manager brings in as far as a system and whether John Brooks might be a fit in that particular system. I have a feeling if Jesse Marsh is the coach, probably not a good sign for John Brooks. But my player that I want to highlight this week is a guy that made a lot of headlines during the World Cup, but has just had a really quiet club career, but all of a sudden has put together a string of starts, but not necessarily the position you'd expect. And that's Tim Weah. Weah became one of the most important attacking players for the U.S. men's national team throughout World Cup qualifying and showed that mettle again during the World Cup. He was the lockdown starter at right wing, made a lot of things happen with his dynamic attacking play. But throughout his career at Lille, since he's arrived there, he struggled to be consistently healthy, which has made him struggle to find consistent minutes. Lately, though, he's gotten a bunch of minutes, and while some of them have been at right wing, he's been starting a lot at left back, which is weird. Now, we well understand that every American, anybody with an American passport has the ability to play fullback. It's just something we can do. We don't know we can do it, but we can do it somehow, some way. However, seeing Tim Weah pop up at left back, he's not even left footed. He's right footed, and put together a string of minutes. And to be honest, I haven't really watched these games, but I do get the scorecard on my phone, and it pops up, and he's getting really good reviews playing left back for Lille. Which is just weird, man. I'm very happy that he's playing. I think that he is one of the more underrated Americans out there. Not necessarily by American fans. I think American fans know how good he is, but I think the world at large is unaware of how damn good Tim Weah is. I see a lot of wingers around the world who are playing for high profile clubs who I just don't know are as good as Tim Weah. I feel like he can be playing at a lot higher level week in, week out, if he can stay healthy. But left back, what's up with that?
I don't know. But you know what? Good for him for not saying, I'm not playing left back. Are you kidding me? Good for him for saying, hey, I'm getting on this field. I'm going to put my coach in a position where he can't take me off the field. He needs to have me on there. I'm that much of an asset. And if that's coming at left back, okay, fine. He is one of the guys that I really thought would get a move in January. There were some murmurs about him. Specifically, I remember one at Fulham, which I was psyched about. I mean, run back the 2008 days of Full America. But good for him and we know he comes from a great family, and he's, you know, taking it like a professional. If he's not going to start in his preferred position, he's going to work hard in training and get on the pitch any way he can, which I think will only bode well for him and hopefully maybe lead him to a move sometime this summer where he can get minutes week in, week out at right wing, where we all know as American fans, we all know he can do damage.
Yeah, absolutely. He is such a devastating player and has been so good for the U.S. men's national team. You just feel like there's a bright future ahead of him. There's a bright future ahead for American soccer, despite some of the sad news that we've gotten this week. It's been kind of a down few weeks in American soccer. I mean, we still don't have a GM or a technical director or a head coach. We still don't have a Christian Pulisic who is
out. I was going to say, but we do have an inspiring Instagram post from Christian Pulisic with the emoji saying back soon. We got that going for us.
We need Christian Pulisic back in the discourse because the discourse is getting real weird. Guys, thank you so much for watching. I want to know in the comment section, just what do you think Jesse Marsh just failing at Leeds means for American soccer? Do you think this is going to limit the opportunities for American coaches moving forward in the next few years? What do you think the narrative will be at Leeds if this team goes down? I think the Americans will be fine. I think Tyler Adams will be able to bounce back. Weston McKennie is on a loan, so if they get relegated, he'll be back at Juventus, and they'll sort that out. I don't know about Brendan Aaronson.
That'll be an interesting one, but the two main characters there, Leeds and McKinney, I think they'll be all right. But let me know your thoughts in the comment section. For Brad, my name is Sam. This is the Yank Report, brought to you by Bet Online. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for liking. Thank you to my tier two members, Manuel Olivetas, Matthew Doyle, Matthew Hanna, Michael Baker, Dan McVay, Mike Irish, Aaron M, 427 Motorsport, LLC, and expats everywhere. Thank you guys so much.